Hi everyone, my name's Jesse and I'm going to cut you all up with my machete.
Hi, my name's Dave and you're all my children now.
And welcome to From Dream to Screen to Scream!
You're crazy to know who I am, aren't you? Alright, I'll show you.
She hates me. Like others.
Forgive me, my dear. You see, I hurt you because I love you.
Synthetic flesh.
You wouldn't run out on me now. You wouldn't do that to me.
Wouldn't I?
He ain't my dad.
No, and he ain't no preacher neither.
She just goes a little mad sometimes. We all go a little mad sometimes. Haven't you?
You wouldn't be able to do these awful things to me if I weren't still in this chair.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair. You're a vile, sour little bitch.
What have you done to its eyes?
He has his father's eyes.
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face. The blackest eyes.
He's gonna laugh at you. They're all gonna laugh at you.
I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains. I'm gonna bash them right the fuck in.
Killer if you can. Lover boy.
This is going to be extremely painful, Mr. Bell.
Oh. Son of a bitch, you moved the cemetery, but you left the bodies, didn't you?
You gotta be fucking kidding.
Please, God.
This is God.
You have to have faith for that to work.
The doom is dead.
Yeah. No. I'm scared.
How's your week been going, Dave?
Not too bad, Jesse, baby. How's yours?
Yeah, pretty good, man. How about we talk about it to start off with?
Oh, mate, I'm raring to go.
Mate, I've seen it 3 times and you've seen it 4, haven't you?
Yeah, and each time it gets better and better.
Oh, yeah, it sure does. I love that opening scene, mate. That's honestly one of my favourite scenes, one of the best opening scenes ever set to celluloid, mate.
Do you think it's going to become a cult classic or just a classic?
Well, I mean, yeah, it is a very new film, but, you know, for me personally, it's an instant classic, mate. I mean, it's already at least in my top 100.
And what makes
horror films of all time?
Sorry, what makes it work for you, Jesse? Is it the acting? Is it the photography? The
music?
Everything.
Everything from the casting of the kids was brilliant. Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise is just phenomenal. Yeah, I mean, it's a horror movie, you know, and he deserves an Oscar in my opinion for what he's done in the film. Just all those little things he does with his mannerisms, that whole thing he can do with his eyes. I mean, how much did they save on CG because he could just do that naturally?
Yeah, and his body language is just phenomenal as well. That sequence there where he taunts, I think it's Eddie, after he breaks his arm. And as he walks and he twitches towards Eddie, and the way the director's filmed it from a low angle, so he seems more threatening. It's just nightmare stuff. Even the sequence there where he taunts Bill, or he pretends to be Georgie, and as he flashes up towards Bill, and Bill leaves the cellar through the door, and then Pennywise just falls into the stairway, and his eyes move to the back of his head, and he slinks away. It's just nightmare stuff. It sends chills up your bloody spine.
Oh yeah, it does. It really, like, when I'm watching it, it really makes me feel like I am a kid again. You know what I mean? Like a lot of the kids in it, like, really, like, I related with, like, you know, all of them pretty much, but, like, Richie's easily the one that was most like me as a child. But, I mean, that's why, another reason I love it, because it reminds me of all those films I grew up with from the 80s, like Goonies and Stand By Me and Explorers, all that stuff that had, like, good storylines and good kid characters and that, because, you know, especially being that age, you know, you can relate. And when you are that age, yeah, your mind's filled with like a lot of adventure and wonder, and that's like, I mean, even though it's a horror film, it did have that element to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I related more to Ben, the overweight fella, because I was a bit overweight when I was a kid. And I used to attend the library a fair bit and read up on a lot of stuff. I didn't have much to do with bullies because I tried to skirt away from them. And just the atmosphere, the general feeling, the music. It's got a beautiful score by Benjamin Wolfish, I think his name is. He's an English composer. And it's got this kind of a John Williamish feeling to it. Do you agree, Jesse? That sweeping orchestral sound.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I didn't necessarily think John Williams, but yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, like a Spielbergian kind of feeling to it.
Yeah,
poltergeisty.
I'd say more like something that you'd hear in a Spielberg film maybe, but like not necessarily thinking John Williams, but yeah, I get the meaning of what you mean.
From the acting point of view, nobody was weak at all. Everybody was very, very strong. Even the smallest part. The guy who played the chemist, Mr. Keanu, I can't remember the actor's name. He gives a very creepy performance. So kind of off-putting, the way he talks to young Beverly. And she's just amazing as well. It's her first major film.
Yeah, Sophie Lillis. He was a dead ringer for Adam West, that guy. He looked nearly exactly like Adam West.
He did.
But I remember what you said, maybe about a quarter way through when we were watching the film for the first time together, where the bullies all picking on Ben. You made a really good remark where it really stuck with me. I was like, yeah, you're totally right, where the kids, they're not safe no matter where they are, whether they're either getting hunted by Pennywise or they've got to deal with all these bullies, or in Beverly's case, she's got to deal with a, you know, pedophilic father, you know?
Yeah, I think the only person who comes off as kind of a bit sympathetic is the librarian who talks to young Ben. But even she's not kind of threatening or anything. She says to him, why aren't you outside playing with the other kids? And he says he likes to be inside or whatever he says. But
yeah,
she's not really mean or anything. But so I suppose she's the only person who's got any kind of sympathy.
Well, even Billy, his dad, like, yeah, even he was such a dick, man. You know, just like how Billy's just trying to, you know, explain, like, what might have happened to Georgie, you know? And he's like, his dad, like, just comes off as such a prick, man, like a real dick. He just doesn't have, like, as if that is how you would approach, like, a situation like that if you were a caring parent. And, like, it goes back to, like, what you were saying, too, like, how this has been happening for so long in this town that the parents, like, they just don't care.
Yeah, they just kind of ignore it.
Yeah, like, in, like, going back to what I mentioned at the beginning of the cast, that opening scene with Georgie, when Georgie gets it, the elderly lady, she just shrugs it off, like, oh yeah, oh well, another kid's gone.
Even when she sees the blood flowing out of the onto the roadway there, she just ignores it and walks inside.
Yeah, that opening scene it's just so vivid in your mind, like I could imagine being a child and having that, like, you know, like be a, like a fear of something like that might happen to you. That's some freaky stuff, man. You know, if you were just playing with a little toy boat and then you come across this freaky clown in a freaking storm drain. Yeah, like a storm drain. You know what I mean? I mean that's some freaky stuff. And the whole dialogue that's between them, you know, and that one part, like, where, like, right through the scene, how, you know, first part of the scene, how Pennywise is being, you know, very charming and luring.
Drawing him in.
Yeah, drawing him in, luring him in. And then that, for that one moment where he pauses and he just, like, starts thinking about how good this kid's gonna taste for, you know, a couple of seconds there, and it's just brilliant acting.
And even the drool coming out of his mouth, he doesn't lick his chops and make it too obvious. He just lets a drool out of his mouth, which gives it more power and weight. I mean, you watch the bloody, I'd say it's bloody painful to watch, this terrible TV movie of it in 1990.
Well, I haven't seen it since I was a kid, and I've only seen it once, but I mean, even without revisiting it, I can, like, as a educational guess, I would say there's no way it's gonna be able to compete with the remake. And I even did a review on it a few days ago on the Horror Etc. fan page on Facebook, and I said, you know, this film has joined the elite small group of films that have just surpassed the original, you know, like the Fly, The Thing, the Blob. Yeah, even I'd say Hills Have Eyes, you know. But, yeah.
But it's a lot of people say it's a remake of that miniseries. It's not. It's a reboot of the book. It's a different take on the book. And at the moment, because I read the book when it first came out over 30 years ago. And then I watched the TV miniseries a few years after that. And I was just so let down. I knew it was going to be very, very standard and very basic. But they just... Oh, can I use a bit of language here? They just fucked it up. They made it... They sanitised it. I'll give you an example. In the later part of the book, it's the second part of the book. It's when they're concentrating more on when they're adults. Beverly visits the house where she was brought up. She's hoping her father's still there. She encounters this old lady who lives in the house. Lovely, kind old lady, probably in her 70s. She invites her in for a cup of tea. She's done all the living room up the house because all dingy and dark and all that. And she's made it all bright and friendly. And as Beverly's sitting there having a cup of tea with this old kind old lady, the house starts changing. The old lady starts changing. She starts looking like the Wicked Witch from the Hansel and Gretel stories. And as Beverly drinks a cup of tea, it's not tea, it turns into shit. Well, in the bloody TV series, it was just a cup of blood. You see what I mean? They just weakened it. They took the edge off everything. And I thought the acting was bad. Even the kid actors were totally unlikable. And I do like Jonathan Brandis, but he was wrong for that part. Richard Thomas stank. The only bloody good thing he ever did was the bloody Waltons, and that was a lot of sanitised trash. The directing was pitiful. The special effects were crap. Tim Curry couldn't even fucking act up his own arsehole. It was just so fucking obvious. I mean, in the sewer, hello, Georgie. I mean, you fucking skip bloody 20 fucking miles away from the kid if you heard that voice. Whereas Skarsgård, he just drew him in. He was childlike.
Yeah, but the thing is with the original performance in the original 1990 movie, he just doesn't like... Even if I was a kid, man, I wouldn't... Like, even just his appearance and just how he comes across, I wouldn't really think of him so much as just threatening, as just, like, silly.
He's just a clown.
Yeah, just like... It's just like a very dated.
He's not threatening at all. It's very, very dated. And you get online there, and all these damn arseholes say he's iconic.
I mean,
iconic, compared to what?
And I mean, I don't want the audience to get the wrong idea. I mean, we love classic movies. You know, we're not just jumping on the bandwagon of people loving this movie. You know, that's just honestly how we feel. You know, but there's a lot of remakes that we've seen that are crap, like, I'm not going to mention any slap bonus.
Oh. Now, shall we talk about that or not?
Yeah. We'll
go. We will after this year. No, but the reason I saw it four times, I saw it about probably a few days after it came out. I think you saw it on the night it came out, didn't you, on the Thursday?
Yeah, about three or four weeks ago. Night,
And I saw it again with my nephew up at Ringwood, young Nathan, he loved it. And then I saw it again with you, Jesse.
Yeah,
and then
we saw it twice,
and I've said it, four times.
That's the only time in...
Ever. We've known each other how long? 30 years?
About 30 years,
The only time we've seen the film twice, double dips like that. And it's just worth it every time.
Sure is, yeah. Definitely. I mean, it's definitely a Blu-ray purchase for me.
It is a rewatch. I mean, the more you see it, the more you get out of it.
Yeah, I mean...
And like you said, you would love to... I mean, you grew up in that era, Jesse.
I want to live in it.
But you want to be a part of it, don't you?
I want to live in it.
You want to live in it.
Just like The Thing, you know, Cartman is The Thing. I mean, I love that film to death. It's easily in my top five films of all time. I want to live in that movie too.
Yeah, no, it's just brilliantly done, and we recommend it very highly. But go back, everybody, and read the Stephen King book. What I did, I downloaded the audio book. There's about 30 files there, but it's very, very well done. A guy called, I can't remember his name, Gary Ransom, I think his name is. He does a phenomenal job of the voice work and the reading of the book. But, like I said before, they take certain liberties with the story. Some things were changed, like young Mike, in the film, he's lost both of his parents. He lives with his grandfather. In the actual book, both of his parents are still living. So they had to change a few things. And then where Ben is more of the... archivist, he goes into the history of the town. In the book, Mike does that kind of a thing. But the next thing is, when they bring the sequel out, I hope they do justice and cast the right actors. Because what they're going to do, they're going to kind of flash back to when they're kids and kind of overlap it when they're adults. They're not just going to focus on the adults, which is really going to work this time. And I mean, it worked that time, but it's going to be more so, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the complaints, like negatives I keep hearing about the film is that, it's got a very up and down kind of pace. Like, you'll have like a scary scene and then it'll go straight to, you know, the kids like joking and like kidding around, you know. But like, even if you were going through that sort of thing, like, you would try and crack a joke here and there to like try and get over some of the trauma you've experienced with your friends, you know, that are obviously experiencing the same things you are, you know. And I mean, I also keep hearing that, you know, a lot of people try to say that the film wasn't scary. Like, I've seen so many horror films at this point, you know. I mean, I could be considered jaded, which I don't think of myself, but someone would think, since I've seen so many horror films, that, you know, what could there be left that would affect you and that? But like the opening sequence and then, you know, some other sequences in the movie, like, really, really affected.
Oh, well, the slideshow sequence was just brilliantly done.
That's what I was just about to bring up. Yeah, I mean, maybe we should give the audience a little bit of a warning, spoiler warning.
Yeah.
I mean, if you haven't seen the film yet, yeah, I want to talk about the slideshow sequence. So you give us like a good minute or so if you want to skip forward if you haven't seen the film yet. But that that slideshow sequence, I mean, that was the stuff of nightmares, man.
Oh, it just freaks you out every time. I mean, they've got the slide projector set up and they're projecting the map of Derry on the wall of the garage. And then all of a sudden, the projector starts playing up, and images of young Georgie and Bill
with his mum and dad,
flashing off and on. And then I think Eddie knocks the projector over. They get really upset. Then you see a close-up of Bill's mother with hair in front of her face. Then you see Pennywise's face appear in a distorted expression. He goes off the screen, the image, and there's just a blank screen. And the kids, what's going on? All of a sudden, his head pops out of the bloody screen, for fuck's sake. Gigantic bloody Pennywise head with these enormous sharp razor bloody like teeth. Looks at them, turns his head, then he pops out of the bloody wall and starts chasing them. Oh, it's just nightmare stuff. It just shivers up your bloody spine. I've never seen that in a movie, ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Was very effective.
I mean, you compare to the shitty TV show, they're looking through a... You haven't seen, you've probably been back. Yeah, well, the kids, the group, they're all looking through this damn album, and the image of the town comes alive, black and white image, then it turns to colour, and Pennywise is on the street. He comes towards the camera, starts taunting the kids, and his hand pops out of the bloody picture. Big fucking deal. And these fuckwits say that was scary. Pick your nose and stick it up your arsehole. That's scarier.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe like some of these people that you know, saw it when they were kids, maybe they haven't revisited it like I have, and they still have the memory in their head of it scaring them more when they were a kid. But even, I mean, I think I saw it, I was maybe somewhere between like 11 to 12, somewhere when I saw the film, and I didn't really find it scary, you know, even back then. But I mean, I'd seen a lot of the harder stuff even by then. I mean, I'm one of those rare kids where, you know, I got away with Blue Murder when I was a child because my father, he was a big horror fan himself, and he would let me watch almost anything I really wanted to see. You know, like anything from the Friday films, Nightmares, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, the original, yeah, I mean, from what I remember, my vaguest of memory, I don't remember it scaring me much at all.
No, same here. Like I said, I just read the book and they just flatlined it, which we're going to talk about soon. And the other thing is, I brought up something else about the book and the film. The thing is, you've got to really just sit down and just read each chapter. Don't kind of go to the next chapter. Have a bit of a break. And like Jesse said before about the film, it's got ups and downs. Well, that's good filmmaking. You have to have balance. You've got to kind of have an upper, then a downer, an upper. But even when they did talking scenes, it was interesting. It wasn't just there because it was there.
Yeah, but I'll kind of agree with, like, but I'm just on the opposite side of the spectrum on my opinion. I will agree that, yeah, it could be seen as an uneven film where it has a lot of ups and downs. But for this particular film, it just, I don't know, it just really worked.
It's good balance, Jesse. It just balances it out. You can't have intense, 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 intense.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to have a break there. All good filmmakers do that. And when they shot classic films years ago, they used to have a chart made out where you'd have a high point, then a, not a duller point, but a quieter point, a high point and a duller point. Then you'd build up to the climax. Well, that's good filmmaking, and that's what this director has done. Andy Muschietti, I think his name is. I haven't seen the other film he did. I think you have, Jesse. Is it called Mama? And you weren't very impressed by it?
Not a fan at all, though.
What would you compare it to? Was it like The Orphan or something? Was it a ghost film?
It kind of reminded me sort of that other one that came out like maybe about 6-7 years before that came out. That about the Tooth Fairy. What was that one called?
I don't know.
Darkness Falls. Yeah.
Kind of had
that Darkness Falls.
It's a slow burn, is it?
Atmosphere about it. Just I don't know. It didn't work for me. I never saw the short film that Mama. There was a short film that
I haven't seen that Mama, either. I haven't seen it online based somewhere. Off,
but
yeah.
No, I haven't seen that either. But I can easily say that it's going to be on heavy rotation the remake for me for probably the rest of my life.
Yeah, oh, same here. And the thing of it is too, what they're saying is the highest grossing R-rated horror film in movie history, which is just brilliant, eh?
Yeah, well that's
It's still going. They're still playing it.
Yeah, well that's the thing. See, like, how they're going to do chapter 3? And you heard chapter 2, but you heard a rumor they're going to do chapter 3, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, see, because this has grossed so much, to me, Pennywise is like the equivalent of today's version of Freddy Krueger.
Mm.
Like, I can't see it like even ending after chapter 3. I think
they'll keep
running with this train until it runs out of steam, you know?
Mm.
Which, I mean, is kind of a shame, I suppose, in a way, because, you know, it's going to get probably watered down at some point.
Oh, I hope not.
You're going to run out of ideas at some point. I mean, with Freddy, you know, they, I mean, look.
Yeah, because it got more comical, didn't it, as it went along?
Later on, I mean, you know, I have a soft spot for some of the later sequels.
Yeah, become more of a bloody gagster.
Yeah, well, at the end of it, Freddy was about as intimidating as Pee Wee Herman, you know?
But the character of Pennywise, he is kind of like that.
Don't get me wrong, though, folks. I mean, I love the Nightmare series. Especially
yeah.
The one and three.
Yeah, but they just got weaker and weaker as they went along. But and they brought up they're going to cover some of Pennywise's background, where he came from. Well, he has a connection. He's got a connection with his turtle, and the director said that, and you said it yourself, that it's a bit corny, it's a bit hokey. So I think there are small references to it in this film, you know, with they see the turtle in the lake. And
a lot of people hate prequels, but I'm sort of the guy who I'm sort of for them if they're done right, and I'm sort of interested in some of that stuff that Bill was looking up in the records and stuff about. So not Bill. What's the chubby kid's name again?
Ben.
Ben, sorry, Ben. I meant to say, folks. All those are old stories where Pennywise was obviously involved with the fires and the kid in the tree and all that. Like, I'd kind of be interested to see what happened with all that stuff. The only nitpick I have about the film, which I thought was like pretty kind of, well, yeah, for a lack of a better term, kind of hokey, was the part where he's got Beverly in the sewer and he starts doing that really quirky dance. Like, that kind of just didn't work for me.
Why is that, Jesse? You thought it was corny?
Yeah, I just thought it was corny, and it was just like, it was like he was trying.
But he is a dancing clown.
Yeah, I know. But
and he was freaky.
It just seemed like he was trying too hard to be scary. You know what I mean? Just like, yeah, you know, trying to think of the most off-the-wall thing he could do.
Without changing expression and just moving his body.
Yeah, because, like, you know, because Beverly said, you know, like, I'm not afraid of you. You know, she kind of tried to pull the Nancy Thomas thing she did with Freddy in the original Nightmare. I'm not afraid of you.
Yeah. Oh, well. They can't cut, you know, quite please everybody. But what was your favourite illusion, you know, which the kids saw?
Besides Pennywise.
The scariest, yeah. Because he's a shapeshifter, of course.
Yeah, that's a toughie because...
Which they never covered in the bloody TV shit.
I mean, they were all good. The the Eddie scene with the really, like, what would you say?
The leper.
Like the leper, yeah, the leper. That was pretty freaky, along with that music that went along with that very simple sort of John Carpenter kind of like beat that went along with it, like really I thought was really effective. And also the boy,
the headless boy.
The headless boy.
Oh, and the twitching run.
Yeah.
When he came down the steps. Oh, Christ.
That really freaked me out. But one of my favourite also Pennywise moments is where They're in that dilapidated house, and the way he comes out of the refrigerator.
House on Neibolt Street. Yeah. Yes, he's all twisted.
And all twisted, and the way he just moves, like, I just really thought that was really
effective. And then when he moves his arm, and it's from the other side of his body, exactly. But he moves it to the opposite side.
I mean, Bill Skarsgård, he just really has a really...
Well, yeah, that sequence there, and he says, time to float. And as he walks towards him, I feel like I'm in a bloody nightmare, a bad dream. He moves his head.
You said you had a bad
dream. I had a nightmare. He was under the bed. I was getting out of bed. I felt this lumpy thing on my foot, and there was his head. I said, fuck off, you and kicked him away. He just vanished, but I've had a few dreams with that character in the last few nights. Really freaky stuff inside a movie theatre, in the back of an alley. No, but, and in the book as well, it's very, very obscene and very descriptive, some of the stuff that comes across with Beverly and her dad. Because in the book, he belts a lot, and he's very incestuous to her, and which comes across in the movie, but not as full-on as it does in the book. And the stuff with Henry Bowers, other buddies, are pretty full-on as well. And the sequence there with Eddie, as he's passing the Neibolt house, and the leper, I won't say what he says, but he says something very dirty to him, provocative from the door to a 12-year-old boy. So
I mean, you couldn't obviously. It is 2017, but like even that's like,
no, you couldn't. Too much you couldn't do it. You couldn't really do it. Well, even some of the parents of the kids who are cast for the film said, "We won't have our kids in this film. That's going to be in there. That to cut it out."
Well, a lot of the time, especially the scenes that involve Georgie. Pennywise always has a theme where there's always water around it, where it's, you know, where George at the beginning where he's, you know, following the boat across the gutter stream of water, or where the water hits Bill in the face from the roof in the scene we're just about to talk about.
Yeah, and the other thing I was going to bring up earlier too is in the book, George's body is found by somebody after he's been killed. So that's it. You know that George is dead. In the film, which I think is a better idea, and I mentioned that to you when we saw it again, is Bill thinks George might be still around. You know, it may be in the sewer, you know.
Yeah,
but that gives him the impetus to go after Pennywise. It makes him a stronger character.
Yeah, you've got to agree that Richie is definitely the comic relief of the film. Like, some of the lines that kid has, man.
And a lot of it was improvised.
Yeah, a lot of it was, like, I was going to say, well-written, but, like, yeah, you're right. A lot of it, yeah, it was actually improvised.
The actor, Finn Wolfhard, is his name. Yeah. He's terrific.
I can't wait for that Blu-ray, you reckon there's, like, 40 minutes or
something? Yeah, even more, I think. Outtakes and stuff and bits and pieces.
Based onto the Blu-ray.
So do I. Who's the kid who plays Jack Grazer? He's fantastic. I mean, they're all good. I think the only person that doesn't come across very well, he's okay, is the guy, kid who plays the Jewish kid.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other complaint that I meant to say before, that, because I lost my train of thought, that, yeah, a lot of people complain about saying that, you know, some of the kids are underdeveloped, but, my argument with that, I mean, some people would say, you know, it's no excuse, but to me, I think it is a valid thing. I mean, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, because you make the film too long, then you can't cover everything.
It's not a TV series where you've got, you know, 10, 12 hours to play around with, you know, with like what you have usually nowadays, which is like usually, you know, 10 to 12, you know, episode arc, and you've got 2 hours, and that's a long runtime too for a horror movie.
And it just covers so much.
You know what I mean? I mean, most horror films only run, you know, the 80-90 minute mark. I mean, they manage
the average,
they manage to go, you know, just over the 2 hour mark. But I mean, I think there was enough there for you to care about all the characters, you know.
Remember the film Legion, Exorcist 3?
Oh, of course.
That has got kind of a similar atmosphere to it. It's very creepy, very atmospheric. And it tells a fantastic story, and it draws your eye in. And there's some amazing scenes in that. There's one massive jump scare. Remember that in the hospital corridor? Well, it has got more of those, but it's got that kind of a feeling to it.
Yeah.
But you were talking about the cellar scene, and there's this connection with water. Because I think Bill's in bed, isn't he, earlier on?
Yeah, the water starts dripping here from the ceiling. And
that's when he gets out of bed. And he sees, I don't think he sees it. He sees from the corner of his eye, Georgie.
Yeah, he's running through the hall, yeah. That's it.
But as he gets down to the cellar, and you can see Georgie hiding in the darkness, and the next shot is a cut to Bill, then there's another shot to Georgie, and he's moved out of the shadows. And this bit that builds up to that, and the kid, I can't remember his name, he's just phenomenal. He's a sweet little kid. And then he goes back bloody crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that was another thing, you know, that scene is very effective, just the way he starts becoming all demonic and that, and then what...
The Eel Float scene, Eel Float 2 scene.
Yeah, Eel Float 2 scene, the whole way he starts, you know, demonic is saying, Eel Float 2, Eel Float 2,
and he starts decomposing.
Yeah. And chases Bill like crazy, and then, yeah, Bill gets away, and the way Pennywise just slides back out of frame with his eyes going rolling
roll back
in the back
to
his
head. Oh. It is creepy, creepy stuff. And that stays. And like I told you years ago, Jesse, the best films, certain scenes stay in the mind months after you see the film, or even years.
That's another thing. Like it's very rare, and especially in horror, you very rarely see it. Not only this film recently, but another film we saw recently within the last couple of years that had it in it too, was The Final Girls. That had heart to it. Well, that's
compassion,
compassion, that's what this has, you know. Yeah. I mean, I've got a younger brother, you know, where there's maybe a little bit more of an age gap than there is between Georgie and Bill with me and my brother, but not too much. But, I mean, you know, you could really feel like the kinship that Bill had, you know.
And the lonesomeness without him.
Yeah, exactly. And then, just... You could really feel that, there was
heart
to it, yeah.
Yeah, and that's another good thing about the film too. It's got, in the whole concept of the film, it's got heart, it's got horror, it's got comedy, it's got adventure, it's got drama. It just covers all the bases, and it does it so well.
That's right.
So what do you think? Do you think we've had our say about the film, or do you think there's any more you need to say? Or
no, I think we've kissed the ass of the film enough.
Yeah, and I hope it comes back to kiss our ass, because we deserve it. No, well done. Thank you. On this week's...
I'll fucking have ya. That was
the best of 2017.
Yeah, that's talk about...
But the worst.
Probably the worst movie I've seen in... Not only this year, but probably the worst theatrical experience I've had in quite some time, Dave, which we also saw together, which was the Flatliners remake.
Which was an abomination.
Oh, I mean, it just, like, from rope-style characters to just, like, abysmal storytelling. And just, like... The film goes nowhere. It is the poster. Even
it's build up, and there's no outcome.
It is screaming cash grab. I mean, I'll fully admit it. I mean, I admitted it even in my review, which I did on the Horror Etc. Facebook fan page. I walked into the film for free. I mean, I paid to see it again, and then I walked in to see this for free because I had no hope for the film. I didn't think it was going to be as bad as it was. But, I mean, I was hoping to have, you know, something to offer. But it was just like, it was even worse than I could possibly imagine.
And are you a fan of the original film? Do you like it? I mean, you're not a massive fan of it.
I like it. I mean, it was
a concept.
Yeah, it was even a film that I somewhat grew up with. I mean, I've seen it, like, a few times here and there, you know, through pretty much... Yeah, the whole passage of my life, but I've never loved the original. But
it's a watch.
There's definitely things about the film that I really enjoy, like Kevin Bacon. I'm a big fan of, and
Kiefer
I really like too. And it, like just the whole, like that's what I mean. There was nothing in the remake that was so good in the original. Like the whole thing with Kiefer and how him and his mates stoned that kid, and the kid was after him, just beating the hell out of Kiefer repeatedly. You know what I mean? Like. There was nothing.
No conflict at all.
There was nothing.
No
like
tension.
That. Just really, it was just such a drag. I mean, I felt like I was sitting in that theatre for about 6 months.
In muddy water. You couldn't move.
Like quicksand.
And the theatre was, what, 3/4 full, Jesse, wasn't it?
About that, yeah.
I mean, how in the heck did this get past the executives? They may have been the ones who planned the whole bloody thing. They took it out of the director's hands.
Well, that's the thing that really amazed me now, like what actually will pass for, you know, a usable, shootable script. I mean, this film it has nothing. I mean, I like Ellen Page, but you know, she's given almost nothing to do that's really significant in the movie.
I've forgotten kind of everything. Do you remember any certain scenes in this film at all?
I mean, anything? I remember like snippets here and there, but yeah, I mean, it really is a film that you really forget 5 minutes later.
Mate, I've looked at toilet paper that's got more personality in this film, with nothing on it. It's just dull. Dead, limpid, wet.
Well, in the words of Hitchcock himself, it was stillborn.
Oh, well, that's why they should have kept it and buried the fucker, if you'll pardon my French. Exactly. I shouldn't have said buried, you know, but no, it just stinks. Foul. Worst film in about 10 years.
I mean, it's so bad. I don't even know why we're even still talking about
it. Well, I think we should finish it off, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't have a lot more else to say other than I don't recommend it at all. Go watch the original. I mean, don't expect a masterpiece, but I mean,
it's entertaining.
Yeah,
at least it's got certain scenes that stay in the brain.
At least, I mean, you know.
The weakest spot in that is the Julia Roberts sequence and her character.
Yeah,
she's always been a bit of a twit-looking cow to me. I'm not a big fan of her
at all. I mean, there's some of the stories I've heard,
she's really a prima donna. Bit of a prima donna, yeah, I think. But the other stuff is pretty good. And there's it Joel Schumacher directed, I think?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was about to say. Like, yeah, I mean, you know, we can all forgive, I think, you know, Joel for what he did to Batman and Robin.
Well, that was a studio, wasn't it?
They wanted him to make a toy commercial, pretty much. Mm. But, Flatline's the original. It's a decent flick. Yeah. Worth seeing.
It's well done. So the other bad film we saw, I mean, there's been a few of them this year, American Assassin.
Oh, yeah.
Which was putrid as well. Michael Keaton.
I mean, I'd say just as bad as Flatline. It's just a film of a different genre. It was about the only difference. Oh, it's still as bad, though.
Weak as it is, I won't say it because I'm a gentleman so far. But no, yeah. It just boring.
I mean, that's another film where I basically remember nothing of it, Dave. And I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we really are in a time where the expression, you know, disposable entertainment, like, really is true in the sense. Yeah, you know, there is a lot of films where you watch it and it's like, it's just so bad that you just like, well, you know, it just leaves your mind, like, instantly almost. Like, even that other one, what was that sci-fi one
we saw this year? The big budget thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Valerian?
Yeah, like that wasn't.
That I didn't mind that.
That wasn't a terrible film, but yeah, I mean, it still was forgettable, though. You know what I mean? There's a lot of films now where even if you're kind of enjoying the experience, like they just don't stick with you. You know what I mean? I mean, not every film's like that. I mean, there are films that I see and yeah, they stick with me. I mean, like we just praised the hell out of it. Yeah, that'll stick with me for the rest of my life. Yeah, I mean. Every day, nearly, I at least think about some part of the film, you know. But I mean, yeah, there's just a lot of films, unfortunately, at the moment where, yeah, they just don't stick with you. The Hollywood system, I mean, something really has to change. I mean, I did hear, I heard it somewhere, I think it was some YouTube channel I was watching the other day, where people were talking about how, I think it was Universal is reopening Orion Pictures.
Yeah.
And they're going to start, you know, doing some, you know, like $40 to $60 million budget of films, yeah, you know, instead of trying to make these big tentpole movie, you know, $150-$200 million movies all the time. I mean, Dave, I mean, if you've got a good script and at least some, you know, people who imagination, are decent actors,
yeah, and great imagination,
yeah, like
and you talent,
you don't need a lot of money to make a decent film. Yeah, you know?
Because look at it, $35 million to make, and so far it's grossed over what $500 million, I think.
Yeah.
And they've got to release it in China, I think, in Russia and Germany.
Yeah, but even
that's going to make more. Yeah, and that was independent, though. It was released through Warner Brothers, I think, New Line, but it was an independent production.
Yeah.
And it's just gone through the damn roof.
But even 30 million, I mean, that's like, you know, whatever, 30 years ago, that would be like a $100 million movie now.
Yeah, if you compare it to
that. But I'm saying, like, you don't even need that. Yeah, I mean, even way back in the 60s when Hitchcock did, in 1960 when he did Psycho, I mean, what was that made for, about $900,000?
Yeah, just over $1 million.
I mean, what's that, well, with inflation now, maybe about 10 million or something, yeah, like that.
Yeah, at least that. You know? Went through the roof.
Yeah, no, like, he made that for next to nothing compared to the, what his other films were budgeted for. Like, so, like, yeah, getting back to my point, you don't need a lot of
meals. A big budget, because it's flaws at some time.
Yeah. I mean, Evil Dead, that was, he was made, that was like basically a student film. Yeah, it was made for $100,000. You know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it was made for about $90,000. So, I mean, budget really isn't a thing. I mean, I've never understood where, you know, Hollywood got the idea that you need so much money to make, yeah, a good movie. You know what I mean? I mean, a good movie can just be good because it's got a good story. It's good. Yeah, you don't. I mean, yeah, the Marvel films and stuff. Yeah, all right. You need the $200 million movies to do the effects. You know, but when it comes to, yeah, whatever it is, you know, horror movies and stuff. You know,
you don't need it because it spoils it. Exactly. If you use too much CGI, well, the thing with it again, they used CGI very sparingly, and they used it really well. They didn't overdo it.
Yeah, and I thought the CGI was, it looked good too.
It looked fantastic.
Yeah.
But like you said, a lot of these big budget Hollywood movies, they use too much of it.
Yeah.
And it's got no weight sometimes. It's got no oomph. You can tell. I know it's they've improved it a lot, but you can still tell some of it's CGI. The case in point is a thing. There was a really good comparison on the net. I can't remember the guy's name. English guy compared the original, you should watch this, the original John Carpenter version and the terrible prequel, was it?
Terrible to you, Dave.
Yeah, well,
marginally decent to me.
He showed some of the clips and he compared the Rob Bottin sequences to the CGI, and they're just terrible.
Yeah, it's night and day. I'll give you that. Yeah, the effects were practical first when they were doing the prequel, but
yeah, I know they do use some practical effects.
Yeah, they went over the practical effects. They actually went over the work that the practical effects guys did with CGI. Oh,
okay, they covered it up.
They completely redid it. Which I was like, well, why would you do that? You know, like, I mean, that was what makes the thing, well, not, that's not the only thing that film has gone for, of course, but it is a very big part of what makes the original thing great is, yeah, the effects.
Well, tell me this, yeah, Jesse, baby. You never saw The Dark Tower, but your girl Laura did, didn't she? And she thought it was crap.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though. I mean, yeah, there's a new writer in town, Dave. Maybe you've heard of him, Stephen King.
Yeah, I think I have.
he's getting a lot of recognition, this guy, you know. But I mean, The Dark Tower flopped, but
they're doing reboots of his other stuff. They're going to redo Salem's Lot, which was a bad TV movie.
Well, that's the thing. He's getting all the rights back to all these, you know, things he sold off in the '80s.
All these properties, like these, yeah.
He's selling them all off again, which, I mean, probably means they're going to get a lot of remakes and stuff.
Right.
I'm not against that. I hope they do it well. But I mean, this might be blasphemous to some of the folks out there in podcast land, but I'm not really a fan of the original Salem's Lot.
Either am I. It's crap. The book's phenomenal.
I've seen it once, and yeah, I mean, the vampire stuff's kind of cool, but
yeah, but it's low budget shit, mate.
Very few and far between.
Said the bloody wires. And
low
everything.
Budget doesn't mean bad, though, Dave.
Now, that's directed by one of the greats, Toby Hooper.
Yeah.
He did a bad job.
Yeah, R.I.P. there.
Yeah, poor man. But we lost a few this year, haven't we?
Yeah.
Jerry Lewis, Toby Hooper, George Romero?
George Romero was about a month or so before Toby,
When did West Gay last year?
These two
of
the horror icons that close together.
Harry Dean Stanton?
Yeah, he went.
Bill Paxton?
Yeah, that was a big one for me, because I've always enjoyed Bill's work. He just had a lot of life when he was on the screen.
You could watch him and just take him in.
And he really was for the fans, too. I mean, I heard a story where he was at some convention.
Yeah, nice.
It was on another podcast. And there was a guy there that started talking to a bit, and he was saying that, my brother's sitting over there at that tower. I think they were in, like, a mess hall or something. He goes, my brother over there, he's a really big fan of Tombstone. And without warning, Bill said, oh, okay. And then he walked over to this guy's brother and went right up to his ear and whispered all the lines that he had in Tombstone. And it just really blew this guy's mind, man. I mean, could you imagine being like a fan of an actor like that and just having that happen? Like, that'd be That'd be such a nerdgasm right there.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. He just comes across as a very nice man anyway.
Yeah.
And a very talented director.
Love him in Aliens. Oh, we're fucked now, man. That's some real pretty shit, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Ah, well done, son.
I wouldn't get put her in charge. He's great, man. He's great.
He's terrific. What a shame.
He steals the show in Near Dark, which we have to talk about whenever we get around doing our vampire.
Big on vampire, so. Episode. Yeah. Okay, so do you reckon that's about it? Fritz and some of the other things?
Yeah.
All right, so...
Thanks for listening, folks. I think we did a pretty decent job for our first episode. What do you reckon, Dave?
Yeah, pretty good, Jesse. We had a smooth night. Great topic. It's the best of and the worst of. And well done.
Yeah, looking forward to doing this again, man.
Fantastic. So have a good night, everybody, and a good week. And
don't forget, Dave, just tell it to call you Billy.